Last night I watched a documentary called Sexy Baby, made by two former journalists for the Miami Herald, Jill Bauer and Ronna Gratis, who both join me now. Ladies, welcome to the Big 550.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you on the show. Let me see if I can give a description of the movie, and then either of you can interrupt me and say, no, that's completely wrong. It seems to me to be a terrific look at three women in different phases of their lives. You have a 12-year-old, a 22-year-old, and a 32-year-old, and it's the impact of our sexual culture, and particularly on perhaps the growth of porn in the last decade, on how they're doing at these various stages in their lives and how it has changed, or in at least one case, is changing how they view sexuality. Have I got it pretty much down?
Yes.
That's very good. We might add to that that it's definitely access to pornography that is certainly changing the game a little bit, but it's also Facebook and, you know, just having technology at our fingertips, kids being able to send photos, you know, in 5 seconds. So it's sort of all technology and how that's affecting everyone.
There's a scene very early on where you ask four kids, how many of you have sexted? How many of you have taken a picture of yourself naked and texted it to somebody? And one boy raises his hand immediately, and then the other boy and the other two girls tentatively both raise their hands as well. Were you surprised at that?
Actually, by the time we got to those kids, we had interviewed many, many, many other kids, and much younger also, middle schoolers. Those kids were college students. But so we weren't surprised because we had seen so much of it, and most middle school kids have either sent a naked photo or they have a friend who has sent a naked photo. So we aren't surprised anymore. We were initially obviously very shocked when we, you know, got our initial answers.
You know, I'm the father of a 19-year-old girl, and in watching your movie last night, all I could think was, A, I'm glad she's not in the room with me, not because I don't want her to see the content, but I'm 100% sure she doesn't want to see the content with me. And you have some you have some scenes in the movie, particularly for the young girl, the 12-year-old Winifred, who her parents would walk in when she was just doing video chat with a friend, and she was embarrassed at that. And then at times she makes sexual comments and sexual jokes that seem so inappropriate coming out of that mouth. I mean, that to me was the part that was most unsettling in your movie. Did you find that yourselves?
I mean, I think it's funny because at that age, you're definitely pushing boundaries. You're testing your parents' limits. You're sort of trying to figure out what's what. And it's funny because actually when Winifred, the 12-year-old, saw the movie, by the time the movie was finished, she was about 15. When she saw it and heard herself say some of those things, she was mortified, like could not believe that those things had come out of her mouth. I think probably throughout the ages, all kids have sort of tested the limits with their parents. I just think the fodder of today's culture, like sort of what those limits are and kind of the sort of sexual cues that will parrot and that will sort of try on for size are a lot more extreme than they used to be.
She says in the movie that it's her generation that's the first to have to contend with all of these frightening issues about sexuality and the proliferation of porn. And she says that she's never looked at it. She's aware of it, but she's never looked at it. And she says at one point, we are the pioneers, which was quite something to hear out of a 12 or 13-year-old girl's mouth.
Yes, I mean that's why we chose to focus on Winifred. She takes up a pretty large amount of the film, and she because we felt that she was wise, but not impervious. She falls into many traps that kids fall into, you know, nowadays. But at the same time, she is you know quite wise and able to step back and have perspective. So she is unusual in that way.
Now, before we move on to the other two women that you profiled in here, I am curious about process in all things, and I want to know how you got this family to allow you access. The couple is divorced, and they have three girls, and they allowed you into their home, and your cameras were on at times where, well, as Winifred would say to you later, she couldn't believe some of the things coming out of her own mouth. How do you talk people into that?
Well, it was not easy. We spent a lot of time with that family with the cameras not on, just so that they could really gain our trust. And I think also going in, you said that you pointed out that we are former journalists. I think going in with some sort of credibility was very helpful to them, that they sort of knew, okay, these women are here to make this film, obviously for a greater, you know, social good. And they really believed in the topic. In fact, Winifred's mother, when she saw the film, when it was finished, you know, she said, obviously there are things in this film that we're not so proud of or that people will judge us for, but this is such an important film to get out there, and some family had to do it. Somebody had to step forward to do it, so we were happy to help.
All right, let's talk about some of the other people who are in Sexy Baby. The second woman, the 22-year-old, is a woman named Laura, who says that she really would like to look like a porn star, that apparently her boyfriend watched a lot of porn, and because she saw some of it with him, she wanted to look like those porn stars. She wanted that so much that she goes to a plastic surgeon to have her genitals changed to look more like those of a porn star, something I'd never heard of before, an operation called labiaplasty. Again, how do you convince this woman to not only allow you into her life, but to allow you to go into the doctor's office and shoot from that angle?
Well, to make matters even crazier, that we actually filmed her that surgery, or actually we filmed her checkup when she went in for the consultation half an hour after meeting her in person.
What?
It was also very shocking to be like, nice to meet you, and now here we are in like a very intimate position with you. I think our takeaway from that is she's 22, so she's completely part of the reality TV generation. So to us, it just sort of was more emblematic of the fact that youngsters today, their concept of what is personal and what is public is very different from other generations' concept of what that is, just because they're really used to putting it all out there. I mean, I'm not saying that the average girl would let us do that, but certainly that's part of it.
Yeah, you don't get more all out there than that scene.
Yes. Now, no, you don't.
Now, here's the question about it. When you're filming those scenes, she doesn't have a boyfriend, but she's getting this labiaplasty to look like the kind of woman that her previous boyfriend wanted her to look like or like to look at online, right?
Well, you can sort of say that, you know, nose jobs have always existed. Breast implants have been around for a really long time. This is sort of just the final frontier. So the reason that the surgery is gaining popularity is just that there is now much more awareness of, you know, what people's private parts look like, because, you know, because again, we are exposed to so much more. So it's kind of just the next step in sort of the new standard of beauty.
And that plastic surgeon that we see in those scenes, that's his entire practice, female genital surgery.
Yes.
Correct.
Had you ever heard of that surgery before you started making this movie?
When we started to explore the topic, we realized that the surgery was becoming very, very popular because of the ubiquity of internet porn, mm-hmm. because there is this standard. When we showed the film to Laura, we said to her, you know, people are going to judge you. People do judge you when they see this, and they draw all sorts of conclusions. And she said, you know, that's, people can judge, but they just don't know what exists today.
Right, here's another process question. You talk about doing the research. I'm guessing that most of the time when you typed in any of the terms that you were looking up as research for this movie, you ended up with porn.
Yes.
Correct. We got quite an education.
Our computers hopefully will never be confiscated.
Oh, no. The NSA knows everything. You're in a lot of trouble. Now, the third woman who you profile in this movie is a 32-year-old ex-porn star named Nicole, who still actually performs under her porn name, Nikita Cash. And at one point, there's a discussion between her and her husband about whether the porn life would be appropriate for when they have a child, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
They definitely, they talk about, you know, their concerns of what their own children will be exposed to one day. So even as, and her husband is also in the porn industry, so even as two people in the industry, they are very aware that access is way too easy these days for kids.
Yeah. She asks him, would it be okay if we have a boy and he turns 12 years old, would you let him watch porn? And Dave, the husband, says, that's the bad question. I don't want to talk about that. Do you think that that was his answer to her or to your cameras?
Both. I think both.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, the interesting thing to me about them is that they've been in the porn business as actors. They now run a business that books porn stars into strip clubs to do pole dancing. I wonder if in all of this, in the time you were with them, did they regret their career choice?
That's a very good question. I don't think that... She regrets? No, I don't think so. I think she talked a lot to us about how she just kind of she is an exhibitionist. She is a person who likes to be in front of people. We actually on purpose did not choose a sad porn star.
You had your choice?
I guess so. we found her we went to a porn convention and she was selling stripper poles to housewives and college girls.
Uh-huh.
And when she was talking to us, she really understood sort of the irony of, wow, this is amazing. You know, I see these people, I installed these poles in these women's houses and their little girls dance around the pole. And she sort of was rolling her eyes, you know, not quite understanding how, you know, a 5 or 6 year old would be dancing around a pole. Encouraged.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I'll add to that she very much takes her profession seriously, and she definitely got into it by choice. As Jill was saying, she really is a woman who truly, I think, enjoys her sexuality and putting it out there, and she definitely also thinks it's a problem that now there's so much sort of DIY porn that, you know, non-professionals are getting into, and that, you know, it's not really a good choice for a lot of people who don't quite know what they're doing or getting into.
Obviously, she, Nicole, is not bothered by the objectification of women. It has been the way she has made money. How did the 12-year-old and the 22-year-old feel about that subject?
Well, a very interesting little anecdote is that Winifred, the 12-year-old, when she saw the film, we were very surprised. She could not wait to meet Nicole, the former porn star, because at our premiere, all of the characters were going to be there. So we were quite taken aback. Why are you so excited to meet the former porn star? And her reason was that she thought that some of the things that Nicole said during the film were so important for children to hear that she really, ironically, had this great message that, you know, porn sex is not what real sex is supposed to be like. It's for the camera, it's for money, and it's fake. And Winifred just thought that that was such a powerful message that most kids her age do not understand. And
yeah.
She just really wanted kids her age to know that and to hear that from someone who really knows.
And you include a long passage in there where Nicole is explaining that porn sex is not making love.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Winifred seems to be an intelligent young woman who is perhaps just part of a new generation. Maybe she's right about her generation being pioneers because of all of the overexposure to all of this. Are her parents worried about that?
Yes. I think her parents do worry, but they are very, very actively, talk to her. And you could see that in the film.
What about you? Are you worried about that?
About kids being overexposed?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's really kind of no one answer fits all, but, you know, open dialogue with kids and sort of not being in denial of the fact that they probably are seeing a lot more than you'd like them to see, that's step one.
Right.
I have a final question for you. How different would this movie be if you were two men?
Wow, we've actually never gotten that question. Jill?
It is a very good question. We did spend a lot of time debating each other, trying very hard not to be judgmental, and also trying very, very hard to, because pornography is often, it's a very hot button issue, and the finger is often pointed at men. We do feel that this is not a subject, this is not porn, this is not a complicit thing. We didn't want men to feel complicit. We're all in this together, men and women, and this new exposure and 24/7 access. And so we did try really, really hard to we talked to tons of young men. I can't say what the film would have been like if it was created by two men, because we're not.
Mm-hmm.
But we did really, really try to get that voice in. And, in fact, our next film is going to be about men. Young men. It's sort of these topics, but we're going to cover young men and boys.
But do you think the fact that its two directors are women makes the concept of a documentary about sex more palatable in some way?
That's also a very good question. I guess it could be argued both ways.
An interesting thing is we did receive some criticism from some women saying, how can you, as two female directors, put so much explicit content in the film and show so many clips of pornography that just objectify women, and you putting it back out there is just perpetuating that,
Yep. Which
was a really interesting criticism to get. Our defense to that was, it's really important because a lot of people, a lot of parents, just don't have a clue as to really what the content out there is really like. So really, this is more informational than anything else. So we felt pretty strongly about that. And hopefully, as two women, people sort of, hopefully other women could trust our judgment maybe more than,
I'll tell you one thing that would definitely be different. There's no way Laura would have let two guys in with a camera for that examination 30 minutes after meeting them.
Probably not.
Probably not. It is a fascinating documentary. It's called Sexy Baby. It's available now for download, right? How do people get a look at the movie?
You can watch it streaming live on iTunes or download it.
And we also have an educational version on our website, which is sexybabymovie.com.
Rana Gratis and Jill Bauer, the directors of Sexy Baby, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.